So, Jack and Patty, listening to your music, I really have the feeling that music is love.
Yeah, it is.
You got the good feel. You got the right feeling. It is. Music is love. Music is love. Love put into art.
Yes, I think it's more important to me than to be technically good. I want people to know that I sang truth and that it wasn't an act or a performance. It's deep in my heart.
Well, thank you, first of all. of course, people who play very technical guitar, and I do that, have to have some sort of intellectual cerebral side, because you have to analyze and figure it out and work things out and so forth. And I always knew that, and I have a tendency to be that kind of person. And so I've made sure that whenever I play, I never think about any of that. I have no idea what note I'm playing. All my heroes, people like Wes Montgomery, George Benson, Django Reinhardt, these were people who didn't read music. These were people who simply played what they heard. And so I made a point always of making my ear do the work, playing what I heard, learning how to play what I felt, and trying to keep all the other part as support, but not as the reality. Mm. It's a challenge, though. It's a challenge because every note matters, especially when Patty and I play together. You're not so aware of the technical challenge for the voice. It's exactly the same challenge. Patty has to be very careful about every note because people hear every note and every breath. And any little thing at any point could distract the listener from the music. So you have to be always alert and completely focused on the technical part. And at the same time, that doesn't have anything to do with the music. So you have to do both at the same time. It's a very good challenge.
For me, it's that feeling, because it's giving up completely to that energy and the power of love, to God, whatever you want to call it. You know, it's that highest feeling. And I also think of music as very healing for people. It helps for broken hearts, and you know, it's soothing, and so I want my music to bring that to people. To me, the audience is just like I'm talking to you now. It's just like we're all together. When I'm singing my lyrics, it's like we're talking. When I'm writing the songs, my approach to writing is definitely, especially when I get down to as a lyricist, when I get to that part, I try to make it very much what I feel, just a conversation. And also, when we walk on stage, I want it to feel like we're just walking out and we play music. It's not like, okay, now we present. I don't want that feeling. I want it to be very relaxed and very down to earth, and you know, just like you're at home. Feeling.
Very much so. First of all, because that's what we love doing. So when Patty and I first got together, we played together. We played a lot. We enjoyed it. We loved rehearsing. We got out and we played in front of people and got a lot of work in the San Francisco area. We just loved playing together. But we also knew that what we were doing was new for us, playing as a duo. We'd always both played in all kinds of bands. This was a brand new thing, and we both had to learn a lot. And we knew that the music industry or the record business wouldn't have any idea what to do with a guitar and vocal duo doing what we did. And so we knew it was important for us to get so good at what we were doing that we could have total confidence, and that because we had total confidence and because the music stood up, we could go into the music business and not get swallowed up or have the music all changed. And so we really intentionally waited, even though we got approached by record companies very early on. We intentionally waited for about 7 years before we even considered recording. And as a result, I think it's worked out that on all of our albums, we've had complete control. For better or for worse, the music that showed up on the albums was what we decided to put on it. It was the best thing that we could do by our standards. Mm-hmm. So we didn't have anyone else telling us how to do it or what songs to do or anything like that. Record companies saw that what we were doing was something that needed to be put out in front of people but not necessarily changed. That's the music business. That's pretty unusual. So we're thankful every day that it's worked out that way, but it was also part of a plan. We knew it was so different.
The realities of it is that with all of this, it's very difficult to get played on the radio because there's no drums and stuff. You know, in the commercial climate that exists, there's nobody else that does it, so there's no place to put it. So that's always been the part that's very difficult. But really, you find that with music that's different, that doesn't have a mainstream, you can't label it. It's still very difficult in the business world for them to decide what to do with it and what to call it. Artists who are, you know, very huge stars still lament that on some level they don't do the music they love. And that's something we really have tried very hard to avoid.
Especially for a lot of young kids who get success when they're 18 or when they're 21.
When they don't even really know what they want to do ultimately.
There's a very good chance in their lifetime they'll never find out what their personal music is, because they were fortunate in a way and they got success early. But now, it'd be a very unusual person that age who, with a great deal of success and a great deal of pressure coming in from managers and record companies and publicists and television and radio and everyone else, that they would be able to have the peace inside to explore and try all the things that are wrong for them so that they can find out what's right for them and learn to find their own way. It's not just in music, it's in life.
Yeah.
It's a challenge, a lifetime challenge to find your own way, whatever that is. And it's made a little more difficult when everyone else is telling you what your own way should be. Yeah. So we've been very fortunate that it's happened to us in a gradual way. At this point, we would never have any confusion. You know, if we suddenly just sell trillions of records tomorrow, I don't think we'll have any confusion about who we are, what our music's about. We're very fortunate that way.
Yes, definitely. I think for us, especially in this collaboration, because most people would look at it and say, well, it's just the two of you, isn't it limiting? But I think that the challenges are so much bigger to keep it fresh, to keep it moving, to keep it growing. And for us, you know, it's literally next month is 17 years that we've been exploring this. And it still is exciting. So for me, the fact that every time I get on stage, I'm not quite sure what's going to happen, it makes it completely liberating, and it lets us know that we continue to grow, that we continue step by step to get better. I become a better singer, you know, each week I get a little bit better, you know. I keep learning something else. I'm trying. I really do. I sometimes open my eyes and I'm surprised I'm on stage still. I really do. It's great because I can fly. It's the place where I get to fly since I was 6 years old. I can close my eyes and sing a note and fly.
Yes, we do. I mean, that's one of the nice things about it. One of the nicest things about it is that later we get to meet people who are moved by the music. And with some art forms, you don't get to do that so much. If you're a painter, you may never meet the person who finally got to have their life changed by looking at your painting. But we do. We've had, of course, many people who have fallen in love to our music and gotten married to our music and lived their lives in that way. But we've also had many people who have found hope, not just love, but hope. And through our music.
Some people, they were so despairing they were going to commit suicide, and they were driving to do it. And this Takes My Breath came on the radio. This guy, he wrote a letter. It was very moving. And he stopped, and instead of going to kill himself, he went to the music store and bought the record and went home and played it over and over again, and it helped him live that night. Or we got this one letter from these nuns. They had been going to become nuns and for their postulants, and then they make the next step up to the novitiate, and they use the music for that ceremony. Or a beautiful song about a family where their mother was dying, and they all loved the music, and they had come to concerts, and they all were together and playing and having music, you know, when she died. And just, you know, endless, because music is part, when I hear a song, I think, you know, when you hear a song, it's just a favorite song, you know what you were doing in your life then, what was going on, what was in your heart, what was happening. And people have really taken this music and it's part of their life. And it's really, it's beautiful when they write us these letters back to tell us how the music's part of their life.
The music is stronger than photography, for example,
yeah.
For that kind of reason.
I don't know if, I mean, all art is equal. Yeah. All art is equal. But there's something about the real time of music that it's a special. Each art form is a special one.
Like dance, I've been moved to tears when I see someone dance. But music is something you can carry with you. You can always have it. You can put it on now. It's portable. You can take it with you. You can hear it. So it becomes really it becomes like a part of your life. You know, it's the sound of your life.
Also, one person, you can put two people side by side. Mm-hmm. This happens all the time. It's not just with music, it's with life. One person has an incredible experience. Another person feels nothing. Well, that's the way life is. You know, the person who felt nothing to our music will have another experience in life. It'll change their life, and the other person will feel nothing. So, we don't feel that our music is any better or any different or anything else. It's what our hearts and our abilities have enabled us to offer. And if it happens to hit on target for somebody, if our music turns out to be a key for somebody's lock, then that's great. You know, yeah. It's happened to us with all other kinds of music.
Countless times. And teaching music, you learn that. Your student comes in so excited, so they heard this music, it's just turned them on. They've been practicing nonstop since they heard it. You put it on and go, oh, I hate that kind of music. But for them, what you dislike was the thing that opened the key for them. So you can't judge about, you know, what it is.
That's why music is love.
That's right.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It was very sweet.
Merci beaucoup.
Thank you.
Merci.